Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we are very pleased to have with us now the governor of Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell, along with Stephen Anderson, founder of the website Infrastructure USA. Governor Rendell, along with Mayor Bloomberg and California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, has founded a group called Building America's Future, which is dedicated to making the nation's infrastructure a high policy priority in the recession and beyond. Governor Rendell and Mr. Anderson, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. Thank you.
And listeners, you've had a lot to say about infrastructure in the past on this program. What would your top priorities be for building America's infrastructure? What are the infrastructure needs in our area, in your community, and around the country? 212-433-WNYC. One of the things we'll ask our guests, should the next round of federal job spending be infrastructure-focused, in your opinion? You can call about that, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Governor, first, if I might, since it's the overwhelming emergency in our part of the world today, and it is even infrastructure-related, do you have much of a Haitian population in Pennsylvania, and are you doing anything to help with earthquake rescue or relief?
Well, yes, we have a fairly large Haitian population in the city of Philadelphia, and that population is obviously right now most interested in getting information about their relatives and friends. And people in Pennsylvania do respond. We had a great response to the tsunami relief efforts, and I'm urging everyone to just send that simple text and donate $10. If everyone who has a cell phone would do that, gosh, we'd have money flowing into Haiti at a very high level. And I understand from all the people down there who I've heard on television this morning or on radio, they all say the most immediate need is for cash more than anything else. And if you can do it by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, by getting that text number, by one for UNICEF, I'm urging all Pennsylvanians and everyone who can listen to us to donate. Again, if everyone donated $10 or $25, that would make a huge difference. And I think Haiti's been devastated for the very reason that they don't have a very well-built-up infrastructure. But we see the same consequences happening in America. Look, there's no question that Katrina was much worse of a disaster because New Orleans didn't have built-out, up-to-date, modern levees. Same thing with Cedar Rapids. And that levees are part of our infrastructure. People don't consider them. They think of roads and bridges. But there's so many things that make up the American infrastructure. We need to get on the stick, and obviously a country like Haiti is really suffering.
And listeners, again, if you want to go to our homepage at WNYC.org, we've got a list of various places that you might want to donate to with the need for cash in Haiti. So, Governor, why did you start this group with Mayor Bloomberg and Governor Schwarzenegger called Building America's Future?
Well, simply because I thought the country wasn't meeting its infrastructure needs, and I thought we were in real danger of becoming a second-rate economic power without meeting our infrastructure needs, because infrastructure affects public safety. Obviously, we saw that in New Orleans and Cedar Rapids and in Minneapolis. It involves quality of life. Everyone who sits in a traffic jam for an hour understands that. But it also involves economic growth, because goods movements is crucial to economic growth. And energy. We've got to build out our energy infrastructure. You know, everyone talks about the value of wind power, and it's a non-polluting source of energy, and it is. And I'm proud to say Pennsylvania is the second fastest growing wind power state in the country. But unless we can link the places that produce wind power, and those are usually high elevation places, with the grid, for instance, we're not going to have the energy infrastructure to be competitive, and that's a crucial thing. Interestingly, Building America's Future took a poll, and we asked people the very question, Brian, that you asked at the beginning of this, what are the biggest infrastructure needs in the country? And we thought that bridges and roads and highways would come in number one, because that's the one that's most visible.
Right.
It came in number two, behind building out the energy infrastructure, building out the grid. Those are the things that Americans are most worried about now.
And Stephen Anderson from Infrastructure USA, your site describes itself as an online community concerned about the nation's infrastructure. How does that community interact with itself?
Well, I think it's very clear, Brian, that this represents a great opportunity. I think that there is so much evidence, not only Katrina, but the I-35W bridge, the New York, the big steam leak, the national power blackouts, and a whole host of all too many examples of the fact that there is a problem.
It's the disasters, it's the failures that raise our consciousness, sadly and ironically.
Absolutely. It raises our consciousness, and we have the expertise. We have information from America's engineers who have studied across the country, who have graded all the many areas of infrastructure and told us where we have problems, and they're serious problems. So the question is, how do we now make this a great opportunity to move forward? How do we take these resources? We have the expertise, and we have the desire of so many people to fix it. No one is in favor of dangerous bridges or school facilities to teach science that are in trailers. Everyone wants better roads. So the question is, how do we do that? And our goal at InfrastructureUSA.org, it's a nonprofit project, is to generate citizen involvement so that we educate more citizens, so we try to have citizens come forward with their ideas, share them with each other, hear from experts, and try to begin a national dialogue on how do we accomplish what needs to be done.
And let's take a go ahead, Governor Rendell.
No, I was about to say that is right on. We clearly in this country need to go on a 10-year, a decade-long infrastructure revitalization program. Every one of the G7 nations have done it. Germany and Japan have spent more than $1 trillion on revitalizing their infrastructure. Their country is a fraction of our size. And the good news, Brian, on this is not only is it needed, but it's the single best job creator there is. And I'm not talking about just the jobs rebuilding the bridges, constructing new roads, repairing levees and dams and things like that. Those are labor-intensive, and those are good jobs that can't be outsourced. But I'm talking about the jobs back at American factories. American manufacturing is in peril. We all know that. Well, what's the best solution for American manufacturing? Well, let's assume we build a passenger rail system, a high-speed passenger rail system to compete with Europe and Asia. The steel that would be necessary for that system is incredible in quantity. That would put people back to work in steel factories. Just what we're doing in Pennsylvania with the stimulus funds, we've seen a tremendous uptick, 50% increase in our orders for steel, almost 100% increase in our orders for concrete and aggregate and asphalt. And that's putting people back to work in the factories, not just out on the job sites themselves. So a 10-year infrastructure revitalization program, look, it'll be costly. There's no question about it. But the American people and the BAF polls show this. They're willing to spend money if they believe it's an investment that they can see the direct benefits of, and infrastructure is one that you can. And it's going to put people back to work. It's the best job creator.
Governor, were you disappointed that infrastructure was not more of a priority in the original stimulus bill? The president early on, you'll remember, had talked about the greening of America's infrastructure as the heart of the bill. But then it seemed to change to focus more on keeping teachers and police officers and so forth from being laid off. Not that that isn't important, too. But it seemed to start at infrastructure and then move away from that.
Well, Brian, you're exactly right. In fact, President-elect Obama met with the nation's governors on December 1st, 2008, just a month, less than a month after his election. And we talked about infrastructure, and he said that's going to be the number one component of the bill. The bill did get diluted, and you're right. The things that you just talked about are necessary, but it got diluted with a lot of social programs. Again, necessary. I don't want to in any way demean them. It got diluted with over $350 billion of tax cuts, a lot of which didn't, in my judgment, produce any economic growth at all. Infrastructure does. You can calculate the jobs on the site. You can calculate the people being called back to work at the factories. So I think if, in answer to your lead, one of your lead-ins, I think if there is a second jobs bill or stimulus bill, it should be 60-70% infrastructure. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And it was a failing of the first bill. And I think the reason it happened is that President Obama deferred a little bit too much to the Congress.
And my guest is Governor Ed Rendell, Governor of Pennsylvania here on WNYC. He's also the founder, with Mayor Bloomberg and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, of Building America's Future, dedicated to making the nation's infrastructure a high policy priority, along with Stephen Anderson, founder of the online community Infrastructure USA, and Chris in Highland in New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm honored to talk to the governor and to Stephen. Thank you. I'd just like to say that maintenance on roads and bridges could be better, and governments often cut maintenance budgets in order to make budgets work. But although maintenance isn't sexy, getting the water off the road can increase lifespans of structures, bridges, roads exponentially. And a lot of what I see out on the roads is deteriorating structures from poor drainage and things that could be mitigated through just proper maintenance. It's not sexy, but it creates jobs.
I understand. Stephen Anderson?
One of the things we do at the InfrastructureUSA.org website is conduct polls, what we're calling infra-polls. And they're ongoing, non-scientific polls, but they give you a sentiment of what people think. And if you look at some of the issues we've targeted, you ask people, is there an infrastructure repair that you believe demands a greater priority? You find public transit is what we find. Almost 60% are choosing that, with bridges and roads second at almost a quarter of that. And then you ask people what their primary means of transportation is, and you get about 50-something percent for cars and about 40-something for public transportation. So clearly these are areas that people are right there. And many have said that we are using the investments that our grandparents and our grandfathers and our fathers put into this country, and that the guts of the nation now are just not strong enough, and that we in this generation have to start to address it.
And Governor Chris, our caller, who's an engineer in highway construction, he said it's not sexy. Is that why there are political obstacles to getting this stuff into the pipeline in this country compared to in Europe?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, we get around and say that infrastructure is the least sexy word in the English language, but I think has gotten a new imperative because it's such a great job creator. And the two areas, if you look at this recession in Pennsylvania and throughout the country, the two areas that have been hurt the most in the recession, the two sectors are construction and manufacturing, and infrastructure work impacts on both of those, and it's the best solution to the nation's economic problems. If we spent, and I'm not necessarily advocating this, but let me just be the devil's advocate, if we had a $2.5-3 trillion 10-year program to repair the nation's infrastructure, that would keep our economy, our construction sector, and particularly our manufacturing sector booming. And let me tell you, Brian, and I know you know this, that manufacturing in America is being challenged. Its very existence is being challenged. And if we lose our ability to manufacture, if we're dependent one day on imported steel for 100% of our steel needs, this country's national security is in desperate trouble, as well as our job base and our economy.
Francesca in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Hello, Francesca.
Hi, I'm actually in Westchester, northern Westchester. But anyway, I was always wondering why we have three Metro North lines that go north and south, and we have no way to go east and west, even coming in from Rockland County, to change lines without going all the way into Grand Central and coming all the way back. And I think that more people would use Metro North to go to work, to just go anywhere in the county if they had a light rail system that would link up the three lines.
Right, and there's an equivalent problem in New Jersey. And the reason I think in both cases is that these commuter lines were all built to flow into Manhattan. And so they run north-south through Westchester, all headed for Grand Central. They run essentially north and east from New Jersey, all headed toward Penn Station. And at least in the New York area, I don't know if this is a national issue, Steve Anderson, but at least in the New York area, if we were to build out transportation, mass transit infrastructure, so that you could get from place to place within the suburbs without everything heading into Midtown, it certainly would serve many needs.
Our website has received comments from many people across the country. And coast to coast, the single topic that has been raised the most is rail. And high-speed rail specifically is something. And
would that work in New York? And, Governor, I know you're interested in this too, but, Steve, Europe is relatively so close together for a major city to major city. Is high-speed rail, for the cost of building it, even effective in terms of, you know, what Americans need to get from city to city long distance?
Well, high-speed rail and rail, there are opportunities for high-speed, sort of like the Acela-like service that happens in the Northeast Corridor and transcontinental service. But rail itself is something that so many people have no opportunity to utilize, and it is so much more highly efficient. If you look at the engineers' report and all their studies on what are the real benefits of different modes of transportation, you see the efficiency of rail. We talk about environmental concerns, sustainability, and all that. Rail is where the experts tell us we have so much greater efficiency.
Governor Rendell, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, first of all, I think your comments are right on, Brian. When I talk about building out a high-speed rail system for the nation, I don't talk about linking us coast to coast because it makes no sense. The dollars don't justify it. The potential passengers don't justify it in certain places. But there are certain places in the country that are highly populated, and not just the Northeast Corridor. Imagine if we just allowed Acela to get to its 150-mile-per-hour capacity. We have to build new track that doesn't curve. But if it reaches its 150-mile capacity, you would make Philadelphia to New York instead of the current 1 hour in 35 minutes. You would make New York to Washington instead of the current 2 hours and 40 minutes. You'd make it in an hour and a half. Just think of what that would do for the eastern part of the country. If you could make Washington by train in an hour and a half, no one would fly anymore. We could get rid of those ghastly shuttles from Boston to New York, New York to Washington, which tie up all of the airports on the East Coast. Get rid of the shuttles. Have a rail passenger service. Do rail through highly populated places like Florida, the California coast, etc. Maybe linking some of the major Texas cities and some of the southern cities, but not do it all over the country. Link the Acela from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh and from Pittsburgh to Detroit and Cleveland and Indianapolis and St. Louis. And don't bring it across the Rockies, but build out a system. It makes abundant sense. And that's passenger rail. Rail freight, and you know you've seen the commercials, how good for the environment rail freight is and how economical it is. We've got to spend an awful lot of resources in building out our rail freight capacity as well.
Governor Rendell, we just have a couple of minutes left. And if you don't mind, while you're here, I wonder if I can get your reaction to the health reform bill they're trying to finish in Washington specifically. And, of course, you're a Democrat, but as a governor, are you fearful, like Democratic Governor Patterson here in New York, about the effects on your state's Medicaid budget?
Well, sure. But first of all, let me say that the one thing we can't do right now as a nation is do nothing. It is an absolute disgrace, health care in America, when you compare it to health care across the world. To have 47 million Americans without health care and to have tens of millions of Americans with inadequate health care, to have a situation where if a woman develops breast cancer and she doesn't have health care, she can't get it because she has a pre-existing condition. That's developing a health care system that is only available if you're healthy, that if you're sick and you really need it, it's not there. So we've got to make change, and everyone has to understand that, including governors, who, sure, it may add a little bit of a price tag to us, but there are also, Brian, a lot of good rebates that the states give, where the states actually get that money, clawbacks that counterbalance the increased costs. Not so much in every state, and it's not a flat line, but first and foremost to me is what's important for the benefit of our constituents. Do we think the federal government should pick up all the costs? Sure. But that's not going to happen. They're willing to pick up as much as 91, 92, 93, 94, 95% of the cost. And I think that's something we just have to live with because the cost of doing nothing is extraordinary. So, I don't know if this is happening in New York, but IBC, Independence Blue Cross, just announced for every individual holder, they're doubling their prices for personal choice, doubling their prices.
And pharmaceutical companies have been doubling some of the prices of brand-name drugs ahead of these reforms, too.
It cannot happen. We cannot allow that to continue.
So if, and we just have 15 seconds, but if that deal that Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska made with his colleagues stands, where they get a full federal buyout of their extra Medicaid expenses, and Pennsylvania doesn't, you'd support it anyway because of the big picture?
I think that's going to stand. I think everybody's going to be leveled off at about 95%, which is a fair amount.
The governor of Pennsylvania, Ed Rendell, he's also the co-founder with Mayor Bloomberg and Governor Schwarzenegger of Building America's Future, BAFuture.org, and Stephen Anderson, the founder of InfrastructureUSA.org. Thank you both so much for coming on with us
today.
Thank you.
It's Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.